And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. We pray that you are having a fantastically wonderful day. You know, whenever I go someplace and people ask me, how are you doing? I was in retail for 11 or 12 years. It was a long time. Encountered a lot of customers. Let me describe how most conversations go. How are you doing today? I'm fine. I'm just looking. And so I decided that I did not want to just fall into that normal characteristic of a conversation. And so when I was doing it, I would ask them, you know, other questions like, well, how in the world are you today? You know, just something to make them think and say things that now you can't say. I used to wish customers Merry Christmas all the time. Would always, you know, get a little bit more of a response. Sometimes you'd still get the, I'm just looking. So now when people say, oh, well, how are you today? And I say, marvelous or delusional, possibly both. You know, I just like to mess with them just a little bit. Sometimes whenever I say that I'm marvelous, people say, did you say horrible? And it's like, no, I said marvelous, not horrible. So I pray that you are having a marvelous, marvelous day. We're going to be meeting on Sunday morning for church, again Sunday night for church. I'm going to be preaching both services, leading worship both services. Pray for me that my voice will hold up and hold out and continue to be used for the glory of God, not just at our congregation, our church, our sanctuary, but here on the radio as well. And so yesterday we were talking a little bit about Job, that it was a matter of will that that we not lie, that we treat people as brothers, and that we act in a manner that is going to comfort them instead of being confrontational. I don't know about you, but I'm not a huge fan of confrontation. Now, if we're playing sports, that's a different thing. I want my team to win specifically. I want the Oklahoma Sooners to beat the Texas Longhorns on Saturday. So I may be out of commission. In fact, the ladies are all going to be out of the house that day. And I'm gonna be watching some Oklahoma football on Saturday. So far, they're doing pretty good. Jalen Hurts is transferred in and is playing just unbelievable football. But I'm when it comes to interpersonal relationships, I'm not a huge fan of confrontation. But I am a great fan of bringing comfort, and I pray that you will be as well. Want to let you know that here, coming up in just a couple of weeks, is going to be the offering right here on WMIE. You can write this number down, 321-632-1000, 632-1000. And you don't even have to wait for that fundraiser to begin. You can actually call the radio station now and say, you know, I heard that the fundraiser was getting ready to take place on the Refresh Radio program, and I wanted to call and say thank you for making it possible for the Word of God to go across the airwaves here in Brevard County. And for the next 6 months, I want to support you. I mean, it doesn't have to be an astronomical amount. It could be, you know, a pretty manageable amount. Anything helps as they strive to reach their goal that helps upgrade the technology. They've upgraded several things here at the radio station over the past year or two. And I don't know if you know it or not, but sometimes things become obsolete. Sometimes things break. And it's nice to be able to have those funds that you can put them into the place where they are taken care of. And you don't have to go in debt to do it. So if you'd like to be a partner of WMIE, 321-632-1000, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program. Today we're going to be in Psalm 50. I'm going to read from verse 16 on to the end of the chapter, it says, but to the wicked, God says, now, I want you to make a note of this. Make a note of this, because a lot of people think that God deals with everyone the same way. God wants to deal with everyone the same way, and that is he wants to forgive them of their sins and to be the Lord of their life. But there are people who exercise their free will and choose to ignore what God has to say, and here is God's response to that. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver you. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Mind you, that this is a statement that is revelation to people who are not living the way that God wants them to live. This is actually an invitation for them to transform their heart and their lives in response to this revelation that God is giving them. It says, but to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes? I have in my memory bank, so this a very distinct memory of a person who came to church and they could quote the Bible exceptionally. I mean, huge, huge portions of the Bible. They had it memorized. I mean, they had spent some time in church, but the lifestyle that they led was a lifestyle of deceit. They were living the life of a con artist, a fraudulent witness, a pseudo brother, as we talked about on one of the other programs. This was a person who knew what believers were supposed to act like, but chose not to live that way. There are a number of people who want to project upon the body of Christ how we are supposed to respond to their bad decisions. Now, there are some people that have some very tragic things that happen to them, and needs and emergencies arise, and the church responds to those. But it doesn't respond the same way to a legitimate crisis as it does to a person who is walking outside of the blessing of God and doing so intentionally. And so God, I tell people, whenever they start complaining about how hard their life is going, how you know they're living the challenges of Job, we just talked about Job on yesterday's program. Whenever they begin to start talking about that and complaining about, you know, this is just not right, I wouldn't do this to a person, how dare God treat me like this? And I said, okay, you're the one that brought this up, and so I just want to caution you that when Job was lamenting the condition where he says, I loathe my life and therefore I give free will to my complaint, he loosed his tongue to just say whatever he wants. I said, you need to read the end of the book of Job where God says, okay, you've had your turn, now it's my turn. I've got questions for you. You see, we're so used to, because we cannot see God with our eyes and we can't necessarily that easily hear him with our ears, we think that that God is not speaking. The truth of the matter is that God's speaking all the time. We just need to have ears to hear. And the truth of the matter is, God says, it's my turn. I'm going to ask questions. You're going to answer me. And Job says, I didn't understand. This is not a you problem. This is a me problem. You see, I think at the end, Job came out of his trials with a greater understanding of God, with greater character than he had when he... It is my belief that there was some issues in Job's heart that he needed to get out of Job's heart that Job wasn't even aware that was in there. That happens to us. We will be put into the pressure cooker, and all of a sudden we'll say something, and then we'll immediately say, I am so sorry. I cannot believe that I said that. That's because God knew what was in our heart before we knew what was in our heart, and he needed it to come out, not so that we could be damaged goods, but so that we could repent of that, have him change our heart so that different things come out of our mouth. Here, God says, what right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in my mouth? You see, if we are going to stand on the promises of God, we need to make sure that we're in covenant with the God who made the promises. I also tell people this, that the God who made the promises of blessing is the same God who made the promises of consequence, the promises of blessing to those who are forgiven, who are walking in covenant with God. The promises of consequence are for those who rebel, who are determined not to listen to God and not to do what pleases him. They are in open rebellion. They are insubordinate to him. And so God says, what right have you to stand on my promises? Now, if you are a child of the living God, I want you to know the answer to that question. If, in case the devil tries to mimic this quote and say, well, what right do you have to stand on the promises of God? You can say this, because of the blood of Jesus, who has washed away my sin, who lives in my heart, whose word is implanted in my heart that I might not sin against him, he has given me covenant access to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. It is because of my Savior Jesus that I have been given the right to become a child of the Most High God. That's what gives me the right to stand on the promises of God. What right do you have? Don't be intimidated when it comes to taking a spiritual stand for your rights as a child of the Most High God. Paul did it as a Roman citizen. Do you have the right to beat me? I'm a Roman citizen. All of a sudden, the guy drops the whip, and he says, I ain't touching him. He's a Roman citizen. In Philippi, they had Paul beaten and thrown in jail along with Silas. And the next day they said, okay, now you're free to go. And Paul said, wait a minute, you misunderstand the situation. I'm a Roman citizen. You treated me in a manner in which violated the law. You had no right to treat me that way. And I may leave the city, but I'm not leaving in the dark of night. I'm not leaving under the cover of darkness. You're going to come, and you're going to apologize and escort me out of the city. That's the way this is going to take place, because I have rights as child of the Most High God. Don't let the devil deceive you out of your covenant relationship with God. God goes on and he confronts the wicked here, and he says, you hate instruction, and you cast my words behind you. You see, that's one of the things that takes place in this deceptive day and time that we live in, is there are people who want to reject the words of God when it comes to behavior modification, but they still want to claim the promises and the benefits of those who are living the way that God wants them to live. It doesn't work that way. Okay? You and I, the most important thing is having the relationship with God. As he changes us, we find ourselves walking in greater and greater favor because he finds us faithful. Okay? He says, not only do you hate my words, but when you saw a thief, you consented with him. Okay? You agreed. You journeyed with him, if you will. You said, man, I want to go with you on this journey. And he said, not only that, but you've been a partaker with adulterers, and you have given, that's what it says, you give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. That there's a problem. There's a lifestyle problem there. Anytime something comes out of your mouth, it's revealing what is going on in our hearts. So we can point the finger and say, look what you made me do. Look what you made me say. And all of the time, God is saying, they can't compel you to say that. You know, if you're a hostage, you know, they say, if you don't read what's on this paper, you're going to suffer the consequences for it. And so they may be able to get you to utter the verbiage. That's not what's being talked about here. What's being talked about here is people who have given themselves over in their heart, and their lifestyle is one where everything is about framing a mirage, something that is not true. It's deceitful. It doesn't manifest in just one area. It manifests in all areas. I think there's a saying that says something like this, there's no honor among thieves. Now, let me move from teaching to meddling, if I can, for just a moment. Because there's stealing and lying are very closely aligned with one another in scriptures. If a person does one, they're more than willing going to do another. The second thing that is talked about here in verse 18 has to do, and you have been a partaker with adulterers. Those are people who are violating the covenant, whether that's a covenant with God or a covenant with a marital partner. Here's the thing. If a person will violate their covenant that they've made with another person, with you, why would you ever believe that they would not violate their covenant with you with someone else? Okay, I've that's one of the things that I've never understood, you know, and we experienced that when we first moved to Florida. We lived in an apartment complex. When we moved to Florida, we didn't know anybody here. We had the name of our supervisor that we were going to report to. We were living in an apartment complex, and in the about 2 o'clock in the morning one night, we hear this couple having an extreme verbal disagreement outside of our son's bedroom. You know, we had a little screened-in porch. It was an apartment complex, number of units. I could, you know, take you to the place right now. And she had come home in the middle of the night and found her significant other, I don't know if it was a husband or not, found her or found him in bed with another woman. That did not create peace and harmony that night. In fact, they got into a really intense argument that woke us up, that caused us to call the police. And by the time the police got there, those people had moved on and they thought that I was the problem. And I was like, it wasn't me. I'm the one that called you people. And so after that, the people who created the disturbance, they started knocking on my door. And I said, you know what? We're going to leave. Every night at 3 o'clock in the morning, they would start knocking on my door. I want to tell you that you and I, we need to look at people's lives and see how it lines up with God's word. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I believe that that is more than just a marriage thing. I believe that there are some business partners who've gone into business with people who weren't Christians, and they found out that those people operated by a different paradigm. And so where one was operating with honesty and integrity, the other one was cooking the books. And, you know, you can both wind up in a lot of trouble that way. I encourage you that if you are getting ready to enter into a covenant of any nature, that you look at the person that you're getting ready to enter a covenant with and say, are these people willing to lie to God? If they're willing to lie to God, if they're willing to live a lie, a lifestyle of deception, why would I think that they would not live that same fraudulent lifestyle with me? Here's the thing. He said, you sit and speak against your brother, you slander your own mother's son. It is not just something that took place with their relationship with God. It didn't just take place with strangers, but soon it found its way into the home as well. And now we have a real problem. There's dysfunction and division in the home. God speaks here in Psalms and he says, these things you have done and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. That's one of those verses that really is something that causes you to ponder and think. There are people who project their personality upon to God, and that's not the way that it works. God is flawless. God is absolute truth. The things that he says are going to come to pass. So I encourage you, do not project the failings of men around you onto God. There are a lot of people who struggle with God as being the Heavenly Father because their own father was such a mess here on earth. And listen, none of us are perfect. So there needs to be some grace that is bestowed there. That, you know, if your father did something criminal, there needs to be, you know, he needs to be held accountable. But if it was just, well, I didn't like I saw an article here a few months ago about a kid that was given a brand new car for his birthday. And I don't remember, I think he was given a brand new Jaguar, brand new. And he took it and he totaled it because it wasn't a BMW. I could have the brands wrong. It's like, really? That's the worst thing that's ever happened to you in your life? Was it had the wrong insignia on it? That's not, those aren't daddy issues. Those are kitty issues. So I want to encourage you. If you know faulty, you know, wicked bosses, don't think that God's like that. Don't project that God is a God of deception because he's a God of truth. Do not, don't reduce God to the faults that we see in humanity. Look at what it says. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there is none to deliver you. I want you to see that with this revelation of truth, there is this invitation to repent. Repentance is projected by our society as this horrific thing that should be avoided at all cost. Oh, I live my life with no regrets. Really? Because I don't do that. In fact, I look back on life and I see missed opportunities for the gospel. I see, you know, things that I should have done for God, should have done God's way and didn't. And that season of repentance brought actually seasons of refreshing. Now, let me go back here and read in verse number 14. It says this, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Verse number 23 says this, "Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God." These are the promises that God has made to people who are living a life of truth before God, before their home, and before their community. He says, be thankful. Be thankful. It's impossible to be thanking God and complaining at the same time. It can't be done. You can do one or the other. I encourage you to offer thanksgiving. It's impossible to be offering God praise with the spirit of truth while living in a lie of deception. I don't want you to do that. He says, pay your vows to the Most High. I believe that means that we need to be living a life of integrity and truth instead of a life that makes all sorts of boastful claims and doesn't do it. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. That is a promise that the children of the Most High God can take upon your lips. What right do we have? Jesus. I have the right because Jesus gave it to me. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, the planets form. And if the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you make. Every burning star, signal fire, grace. And if creation sings your praises,